Hola, hello, ciao. This is Meme del Mare. And you are listening to Tales from the Tub. This story was written during the June project that I always do, which is called Like the Prose Through the Literary Challenge. The challenge was to write a story as a gift for a friend. This story is a much overdue gift for Nuchas. I hope she likes it. It's called Never Wade While Wearing Velvet. She wasn't born in the water, but she feels the ebb and flow of the tides in her veins. She knows the feeling of damp sand under her feet better than she will ever understand the sensation of walking on a sidewalk, wearing shoes. Shoes seem so wrong. The beacon from the lighthouse was her nightlight as a child, her protector. No monster, no demon, no ghost could tolerate the periodic brightening of her room. She used to check the shadows, to be sure. The big house on the cliff was a place she used to fantasize about, lying on the sand, the ends of her hair spread out around her, dangerously close to the nibbling waves, feet pointed up the hill, tan, sandy, pink toenails contrasting with the colors of surf and shore. She never expected she'd marry into the family that owned the place when she was a girl, imagining what went on behind those brightly lit windows. That shadow crossing the top floor windows must be a ghost. She walks back and forth every night. I think that's the boys' room. I saw him on the beach the other day. He and his father were launching their catamaran. I saw the shadows of airplanes hanging from his ceiling. I love that he has planes like I have mermaids. His mother always looks so formidable, with her perfect hair and perfect sun hat. I bet she even has a perfect rocking chair where she sits in front of a perfect fire. Life goes on, as it always does, rising and falling like the sun and the moon, the wind, the ocean waves. She morphs from a child to a girl to a young woman. The boy from the big house becomes a friend, then a date, then a lover. He brings a midnight picnic to the hollow behind the sand dunes where they can see the water, but cannot be seen by anyone who might be walking the beach in the moonlight. The ring he offers is tasteful, delicate. It belonged to my grandmother, he tells her. She died in a fire at the old inn, the one they're raising to build condos, but her fingers had grown too gnarled for the ring. It's not from a corpse, I swear. She'd have liked you. She smiles and accepts the ring, the proposal, the promised future. She likes the way his kisses taste like saltwater taffy, and the way he's totally comfortable in rolled-up khakis and a chambray shirt, sitting on the sand near a bonfire, and equally comfortable dressed in a coat and tie and shoes — she still hates shoes, but she wears heels because they're better for dancing — that gleam from shining. She loves the way his brown eyes hold secrets only for her, and the way he shivers when she teases the nape of his neck with bunny kisses. She loves the way his lean, athletic body — he lettered and crew in baseball — fits with hers. Their first time was not on the beach. Beach sex is much less romantic than it sounds. Sand gets in all kinds of uncomfortable places. But it was illuminated by the lighthouse's beacon, which visits his bedroom, just as it always visited hers. At their wedding, she wears a gown of silk velvet, but her hair is down, and instead of a veil, she wears a ring of flowers with a few seashells sewn in. She threatened to go barefoot, but found pale gold sandals and wore those instead. He vows to support her art, her music, her writing. She promises to support his sailing and toy making. The airplanes from his room have become more than a boy with a balsa wood kit. Rather, they are now his livelihood. They agree that if children come, or if they don't, they'll be equally happy. As soon as the ceremony is over, she kicks off her sandals. Their first dance is on a wooden floor embedded in the sand, and the crashing waves feel like an integral part of the music. Champagne goes to her head. She is giddy, joyful, invulnerable. She scampers back and forth at the water's edge, flirting with the foam, letting the cold Atlantic kiss her toes the same way the boy, now her husband, kisses her lips. When she stumbles, he is there to catch her, bring her away from the surf, Never, he tells her, wade while wearing velvet. It soaks up the water, becomes heavier than lead. She nods blindly. Her head is swimming. Surely she wasn't in that much danger. Years fly by. For their 30th birthdays, they spend a week in Belize sailing and snorkeling. For their 15th anniversary, they leave their 7-year-old daughter at home and spend a week in the keeper's cottage of a lighthouse in Northern California. When their daughter turns 18, they rent a yacht and tour the Caribbean for a month before sending her off to her Ivy League university. But the Caribbean, the Pacific, these waters are not home. At their daughter's wedding, she again wears velvet, but this time it's not white, but the color of coffee and cream. She still kicks off her shoes as soon as the ceremony is over. And she still gets too drunk from just a few sips of champagne. She wasn't born in the water, but the undertow caught her skirts and she died there, no longer a young girl with a lifetime of possibility ahead, but still too young for it to be over. They fill her casket with shells and dried flowers, so the scent of the sea will always be with her, and the boy, the man, her husband, her widower, slips a piece of saltwater taffy between her lips before they close the lid, to remember him. The beacon from the lighthouse was her nightlight as a child, her protector. No monster, no demon, no ghost could tolerate the periodic brightening of her room. She used to check the shadows to be sure. Well, most ghosts. Because now that she's dead, the beacon is her chariot, carrying her into the room that once was hers, and where now a strange child sleeps. She soothes a nightmare away with a cool hand, and promises that the light will keep him safe. She visits the attic workshop where her husband, the toy maker, is creating models of lighthouses that really light up. She sits on the window seat in the bedroom that used to be his, but is now where their granddaughter sleeps when she comes for the summer. All strawberry braids, like hers, and dark eyes, like his, the child loves the sea and makes wishes on the lighthouse beacon. The strawberry child never knows that her grandmother really is there with her in spirit. But when she meets the girl, from a few houses down the cliff, the one who always smells like ships and tar and adventure, she decides to wear the silk velvet gown that her mother, her grandmother, also wore. And she promises her grandfather gravely, with dark eyes wide and luminous, that she will never, ever wade while wearing velvet. Here in the sea, we don't use paper bills or shiny coins to pay for things. The saltwater just isn't kind to hard currency. But we do like to shop. So when we are at the Ocean Mall, we use clams. We are told that you landwalkers sometimes refer to your money as clams. So if you like the stories that you hear from Ms. Melise, the bathtub mermaid, or if you want to check in with me from time to time, please visit www.patreon.com/bathtubmermaid. That's where you can subscribe and get benefits like extra mermaid minutes, the ability to suggest story ideas, and content a few days earlier than everybody else.
The Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is recorded and produced using the Auphonic iPhone app and or Audacity. The Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. This means that you can share it with your friends or repost it as long as you credit me and link to my site. For show notes, including detailed credits and contact information, visit bathtubmermaid.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meliss, that's spelled M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, and Facebook at facebook.com/MissMeliss, again spelled with the Y-S-S-E ending. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.